So again, welcome back, everyone. Hope you're all cozy and comfy and warm in this winter time. I'll have to say I'm a little distracted tonight because my wife, Jo, is finally coming home in just a couple more hours. She's been away for a real long time over in the UK. So I've been desperately trying to clean the house up to her spec for the last few days. So we'll see. We'll see if I can keep my consciousness within this little sphere for the next 60 minutes before I start to go back into pure excitement again. So I wanted to continue our discussion that we were beginning last week about the vayus. I was mentioning that the vayus, the prana vayus, or the five subsets of vata, the five winds, or the five classifications of prana, many, many kind of ways to look at them. But I suggested last week that they're not something to be underestimated. You could easily sort of let the teachings about the vayus sort of gloss over and sort of zoom over the head, or you could really dive into them. And honestly, if you're not involving the vayus in your sequencing, both for your own practice or for your students' practices, I don't think you'll actually go very far as moving energy, because we're talking about all the different ways or locations or actions with which we can move our energy, right? So what could be more important, really? So we had a good look last week at apana and samana, and we did a little meditation and visualization for each one of them. So I wanted to continue tonight with pran. And I always feel like I need to apologize just for the language that we've been given in this tradition, because the complicated thing is we have the prana vayus, which are technically the five winds of prana, the five ways that prana moves. One of those ways that prana moves is something called pran. Okay? So not to confuse anyone, but it's like the category name is prana, and one of the sort of subsects, one of the five bullet points under that category name actually has the same name. It's also prana. We call it pran maybe to distinguish or to simplify the distinction between the two, but it's always good to just be conscious of, are you talking about pran the vayu or the prana vayus? Hope that's clear. So anyway, when we're looking at pran, the vayu, the particular vayu called pran, its location is in the heart and head. Okay? It's in the heart and head. So that's kind of where this energy typically lives. That's where the yogis saw that this energy dwells most often. And its action, that thing that it does, is internalizing. Okay, it brings the outside in. Internalizing, I think, is a great word for this, right? It's if you think about it, it's kind of interesting. You might remember, some of you, this figure, which is one of my favorite drawings in any yoga book, but it's in The Heart of Yoga by TKV Deskachar. And there's this drawing, it's sort of a little seated outline of a yogi seated in a meditative posture. And there's like two side-by-side yogis. And there's one yogi where there are all these arrows kind of passing through the outside of the body to the inside, and from the inside, arrows passing out to the outside. So there's all this kind of, the image is meant to describe a sort of permeable layer, right? The sort of boundary of the body is being introduced with new prana, and old prana is exiting. And then in the graphic right next to that, you have another drawing where there's another form seated in meditation, but all of the arrows, all of the little squiggly lines, are sort of caught within the body, right? Nothing is escaping. So the implication there is that the yogi who has more energy inside them than outside will have more power or more potential. Does that make sense? Right, all of us are handling some amount of exchange of energy all day long, right? Every bite of food that we ingest, every word that we say out loud, right? There's all this in and out, back and forth, back and forth. But the yogi who has more energy inside their body than outside their body is going to have more potential, right? For awakening, for growth, for, you know, realization, for anything. So the question is, how do you do that, right? Well, here's your friend, Pran, right? I'd like you to meet Pran. Pran is the one Vayu that brings energy inside. It moves energy in. Anytime energy finds its way into the body, Pran is the one who sort of drags it in. So if you think about it, we're living in a time when we can take in an infinite amount of information. I mean, it's downright overwhelming. It's all accessible from our phone, our computer, our laptop, our tablet, whatever. It's everywhere. You know, I was just reading a little article the other day talking about, you know, if my five-year-old, there was a question asked, if my five-year-old asks me something and I don't know the answer, should I look it up on Google or should I look it up in a book? And the response was, well, a five-year-old really believes deeply, deeply, intensely in magic, right? He believes that all sorts of magical things can happen. And that child might sort of see the internet and Google as some sort of magical answer, but it wouldn't necessarily make the kid feel empowered to go and learn something in the same way that going and having this tangible sort of experience of turning the pages in a book, right, and looking up a name and looking up a date and all this kind of stuff might have. So anyway, I don't mean to be nostalgic, but, you know, I remember when I was a kid and you'd turn on the news, there was, you know, four stations where there was news on. And when you turned on the news, there was just a guy sitting there reading the news. That was it, right? Here's the news of today. And then I remember when things started changing, and this is actually pre-internet. I remember when there started to be different news rolling across the bottom, right? They'd have this little banner across the bottom of the television. And so in addition to what the guy sitting there was reading about the news, there was this other bit of information, right, about some other piece of news. So you could either listen to the guy or you could read this thing on the bottom, right? And then they started adding like a weather corner. So you'd have the guy speaking and then you'd have the news on the bottom and then you have some other corner of the screen and it should be showing you the weather in Jacksonville, Florida, right? And I remember thinking like, wow, this is like kind of strange. I have to choose, you know, they're giving me all this information. Sure, maybe sometimes it's useful, but most of the time I'm sitting there and I have to choose. Do I give my attention to the guy or to the weather? Or to the stock prices, or to the football score, or what? Because it's all being presented simultaneously, right? So all that information needs to be internalized, right? Somehow, some way, we have to drink some information in if we want to use that information for anything. If we want to make it a part of our consciousness, somehow we need to draw it in. So your five senses collect that information and literally take it inside of you. Whether you hear it, you see it, you smell it, you touch it, you taste it, whatever it is, somehow your senses collect the information and bring it inside your own experience. And the more you pay attention, the more you might exhaust your mind. Because your mind has to filter all of these experiences, all that information. So the more pran you're using, the more sensory input you can actually get. And that's actually why it can be so empowering and so healing to take a fast from media, right? To just give up media for a little while, right? You go someplace where there's no internet and you start to panic, you know, you're like, well, what if I need to check? But whatever it is, you know, they say, sorry, there is zero internet here and your phone isn't going to work. Just turn it off. Right. And you stay in a place like that for a few days or for a week, and it's like being filled up. It's really amazing. It's like being nurtured. You really feel energetically different at the end of that. You feel empowered. And that's just by way of your prana being replenished. Right? It's like your batteries are literally getting filled back up again. Right? Because you're drinking in less. So since prana is internalizing, of course, it rules which part of your breath. You can imagine it rules your inhale. So there's two ways to consider this, actually. You can say that prana initiates the inhale, right? That every time you're inhaling, prana is this force sort of behind that, which is guiding it, which is supporting it, inviting it in a certain way. But you could also think about it in another way. You could say, well, I can initiate prana by working with my inhale, right? That's the kind of other way you can use the tool in your toolbox. One way is you can say, well, every time I inhale, prana is the force that's active. Another way to say it is, I want to activate prana, so I will work with my inhale. And that's actually one of my favorite things to do with the breath. And that's something that yogis don't do very much. And, you know, there's good reason. Desikachara, of course, mentions that mastery of the exhale must come first. We need to release that which is old before we make space for that which is new. And, of course, we live in a culture where, as I said, there's so much prana, there's so much internalization happening, there's so much information coming at us that we need to be careful not to overdo prana. So a lot of yogis don't do very much long inhales. They don't do very much holding after inhales. But it's really kind of exciting. It's an exciting game to play with the breath. So it is one of my favorite things to do with the breath, assuming I sort of already have the stability that day, right? Okay. So lastly, function of prana. So we mentioned we're going to show location and action and function for all of these values. So the function of prana is regenerating. It's recharging. So if you're tired, if you're exhausted, it's prana that's exhausted. Right? It's prana that's exhausted. You don't have enough prana. Or your prana is overloaded is another way to think about it. You don't feel vital. You've taken in too much, and so you're exhausted. So what I'd like to do now is have a little meditation on prana, right? Or prana.